The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, kids, you better put on your thinking cap today because we're going to be in the deep end of the pool. So everybody pay attention. What in the world is cultural socialism and why does it matter? Cultural socialism, cultural liberalism, cultural awareness, culture, 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 culture. And by the way, does anybody even pay attention to Neil Young anymore? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, thestevenobleshow.com. As always, if you want to go to the website to check out the podcast, or you can get the podcast pretty much wherever you get your podcast. We're on all the big ones, the Steve Noble Show. Or you can join us right here in the studio on the Facebook page or the YouTube page. But we're off YouTube this week. We got kicked off because I bothered to tell some truths the other day about medical stuff. So, no, yeah, can't do that. So, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, normally you can at least follow the page at YouTube, and then we'll be back on whenever we get back into the good graces of the YouTube people and the fact checkers there, which is probably never. But whatever, I don't care. They're not on the throne. God is on the throne. So, I get over that stuff pretty quick. So, there's a lot to go over today, and so I'm going to walk you through these things. Hats off to my buddy Bill Mann, who is a retired, therefore recovering attorney, but a brilliant guy. He works with MentorLink, all about mentoring the younger generations, which almost none of us do. But I do, because I have 110 of them staring me in the face every week over the six classes that I teach. And I'm going to factor that in today as we get this website up and running called Noble You. That's just me taking what I've been doing for 10 years anyway, teaching high school age homeschoolers, in this case, civics and constitution, and the new course I'm teaching this year, U.S. history. These aren't hot topic items, are they? So, but I'm limited by time and space here in the Raleigh area where I live and move and find my being. But I want to teach more and more kids and want to focus more and more of my time on that. As long as the Lord gives me breath and I have this level of energy and I'm plugged in, then I want to continue to try to affect the next generations much more so than our own. So we keep running into issues, and this is the way I teach because I do radio 5 days a week, which is really great for U.S. history to bring it all alive, because things that are like right now, we finished up talking about the Civil War. And so looking at what was going on in the Civil War, we ended up talking about Fort Bragg, which the federal government wants to rename because General Braxton Bragg was a general in the Confederate Army. And so there's all kinds of things going on today, as well as the fact that Justice Stephen Breyer just announced he's going to be retiring after this session, so sometime in the summer. And then Joe Biden before said he wants to put a black woman on the Supreme Court. And that has historical significance. And then that leads you into all kinds of cultural conversations, which is why we're talking about cultural awareness today. And what do you do about it? Okay, because I'm not just trying to teach these kids, these young adults, about U.S. history or the Constitution or civics. I'm trying to get them to grow in wisdom so that they can engage the ever-darkening culture, yes, for the cause of the nation and society in general, but more specifically for the cause of Christ, to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And both of those parts are kind of hard in this culture today. So cultural awareness, I'm going to walk you through these things. First, my buddy Bill, who might call in, Bill, if you want to call in as we go along, maybe towards the end of the show so we can kind of take in what I'm sharing here and then bring your considerable wisdom to bear on it. But I'm going to walk you through these three articles, Cultural Awareness, which is the blog that's kicking it off with my buddy Bill Mann, and then Jordan Peterson's resignation letter from the University of Toronto, and then finishing with a Rod Dreher article in the American Conservative, which is where that phrase cultural socialism comes from, cultural liberalism versus cultural socialism. And how do we engage this quote-unquote fight, okay, when it comes to the next generation and trying to have an effect on the country, but not just to, quote unquote, save America. I'm far more interested in seeing Americans saved than I am save America. Although I want the country to flourish, of course. All right? But there's a kingdom agenda that supersedes all that, which is what I'm after when I'm teaching. Okay? And that's why we're starting Noble U, which is for the fall semester so that I can teach more kids that don't live here in the area and can't attend the class at the same time when I teach in-person classes. So, but I can't, because of the way I do radio and the way I think, I cannot teach a class and then sell it for the next 5 years, because I'm always incorporating in the news of the day because I'm very culturally aware. And then to fold that into what our kids are learning in order to turn them into champions for the cause of Christ, which also is a benefit to the country. That's why I do what I do when it comes to teaching. Okay, so Bill Mann with Mentor Link Cultural Awareness from his blog. One of my readers, a friend, told me that she had stopped reading my blog because I had gotten political. I accepted that rejoinder for what it was, and it caused me to have some self-reflection to be sure I hadn't gone too far. I can relate to that. My conclusion was not really because every topic I cover is dealt with using the vantage point of a biblical worldview. Okay, so if you're a Christian, that's always your subversive agenda. Biblical worldview, gospel, okay? One of my favorite writers is James Emery White, the pastor of Mecklenburg Presbyterian in Charlotte, North Carolina, who writes a blog called Church and Culture. One of his posts last year caught my attention. It was titled Calling Out Pastors. In it, White listed 11 issues that the world is talking about. As he notes, White, the issues, people, and events that cast themselves onto the main stage of our collective psyche, dominating conversations and arresting the attention of the epicenters of culture, meaning media, the educational system, the government, the judicial system, the arts, and more. White goes on to say that the issues were all either moral or truth issues, which represented what was right or wrong or truth or falsehood. Secondly, they were deeply spiritual issues, which dominated the world's conversation. Then he drops the bomb. Everyone's talking about these except for pastors in our churches. And what are some of the issues? Okay, here's the list. Me Too, woke, George Floyd. Yes, Steve, that was 2 years ago. Yeah, it's still an issue. It will be until Jesus comes back. Critical race theory, QAnon, go back to the election stuff with Trump, Black Lives Matter, transgenderism, sexual fluidity, I'm pansexual, I'm bisexual, I'm transsexual, racism, sexism, and then my buddy Bill added these, socialism, Marxism, church and culture, transgender, and gender. Why are these important? Bill writes, pretty simple, actually. We live in the culture where these are discussed, and we often sit on the sidelines not knowing what to say or what is the correct biblical worldview on the topic. That's for sure. And this post that Bill was writing was inspired by Rod Dreher, the author of Live Not by Lies. So I'll read a quick little thing from that. And then one of the things that's super helpful to me is to read and get myself educated. And one of the things that I do is I get an email from my buddy Bill, which I'll tell you about as well, which will help you too. We'll be right back. Well, that was fast. I am a cultural liberal. Okay, I'm just going to put that on the table. I'll explain it in a little bit. A cultural liberal. I'm not a cultural socialist, but I am a cultural liberal. I'll get to that in a minute. Talking about cultural awareness, cultural socialism, cultural liberalism, how do we walk through this world? And especially, how do we affect the next generation? We can all learn and get better at this ourselves, and we all have a lot of room for improvement. But if we're not passing that down to the next generation, then the next generation, right now, they're already the Joshua generation. There came a generation that did not know God. That was the Joshua generation coming up right after them. Everything had happened, all these amazing things, so much learning, so much experiencing of God, and then nothing, because they didn't bother to pass it down. And that's what's happening now. We're not passing this kind of cultural awareness down. We're not mentoring. We're not teaching. We're not leading. I'm just trying to do my part. That's why I teach. But this is super important, which is why I'm spending the whole show talking about it. The springboard is my buddy Bill Mann's article that we're working through right now, Cultural Awareness. He's with MentorLink. And I'm going to give you an email address here as I finish this up, okay? So we're going through these topics that are hot topics out there that Christians need to be able to engage in, and not just throw your bumper sticker position at the other side, all right? Engage. Have a conversation. Be like Jesus. Engage the crowds. Me Too, woke, George Floyd, critical race theory, QAnon, Black Lives Matter, transgenderism, sexual fluidity, racism, sexism, socialism, Marxism, church and culture, transgender, gender. Why are these important? Because we live in a culture where all this stuff is going on. Okay, so Bill references in this blog post Rod Dreher, the author of Live Not by Lies, which I'm reading right now. I will tell all of you this right now. If you are not in a church where the leadership and the community are reading the signs of the times and preparing themselves like Bereans and preparing themselves for what is here now and what is to come, now is the time to find just such a church. And if your church is not that kind of place, by all means, do whatever you can to make it one. The crisis is upon us now, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. That's for sure. As Christians, we can't put our heads in the sand and pretend the cultural issues aren't affecting our lives, but not our faith. That's denial. We need to stand tall for the gospel in our lives, which means being visible in the cultural conversation. Yes, we have to show up, not primarily as a member of the Republican Party or somebody on the right, but primarily as a Christian who is fiercely devoted to understanding truth, the truth of God's word, and then applying it to everything else. Okay, that's our role. You're an ambassador. You're not an ambassador of the Republican Party or the Democrat Party. You're an ambassador of Christ and his truth, which is the truth. Okay? So the world needs us. God calls us. The world needs us to be the people of truth. Bill said this. Here's the email I want you to get. I recently started writing a daily compendium of news stories that I call Musings, which now has a readership of close to 100. Let's see if we can't double that. It provides biblical worldview stories on a broad variety of topics, usually close to 30 each time. So when you guys ask me, hey, Steve, where do you get your information? This is one of my sources. It's my buddy Bill. Very mature, blessed Christian man. Okay? So he sends this out almost daily, Musings, and it all comes from a Christian worldview. The economy, what's going on in the culture, what's going on in politics, what's going on in the world of finance, all kinds, right? So super important, super helpful. Unless you just want to sit on the sidelines and watch it all burn and not try to do anything about the Joshua generation. And if that's you, then shame on you. So if you want to get on that email, and I'm on it, and I would strongly suggest you do. You're going to send Bill an email, okay? Put the link up. I put the address on Facebook Live. Otter Pater, okay? O-T-T-E-R, otter, like an otter. Pater, P-A-T-E-R, otterpater at gmail.com. And make sure in the subject line, just put musings, M-U-S-I-N-G-S, musings. Otter Pater, O-T-T-E-R, P-A-T-E-R at gmail.com. Put musings in the subject line. Here's his takeaway. As a mentor, our mentees, the people we want to mentor, live in a Romans 1 world. You guys have heard me say that ad nauseum. And we need to be sure that the next generation see Christ in us. To do that, we must understand the cultural issues they are struggling with because Satan is a liar and may have poisoned their minds. Yep, that's what's going on. Somebody that understands this is the brilliant Jordan Peterson, who, God willing, will be a born-again Christian here in the near future. It certainly looks like God's moving him in that direction. So, this guy's brilliant. Good podcast. Watch him on YouTube. Jordan Peterson. So he resigned from his full-time tenured position at the University of Toronto. Again, we're talking about cultural liberalism, cultural socialism, cultural awareness. So he's excellent at this. So his full-time tenured position at University of Toronto, he's out, okay? In protest at the academic institution's rapid embrace of faulty leftist ideology. So listen to some of the things that he wrote in his letter of resignation. This is awesome. Peterson recounted how U of T, University of Toronto's diversity, inclusivity, and equity mandates, or DIE, D-I-E, are ruining the school's commitment to promoting an environment that prioritizes learning, discussion, and true ideological diversity. That's how you end up with wisdom, by the way. That's cultural liberalism. Hey, let's have a conversation about everything, and we don't cancel anyone. That's cultural liberalism. That's classic liberalism, which is what our colleges used to be about. He goes on, we are now at the point where race, ethnicity, gender, or sexual preference is first accepted as the fundamental characteristic defining each person. And second is now treated as the most important qualification for study, research, and employment, Peterson said. Need I point out that this is insane? Diversity, inclusivity, and equity, that radical leftist trinity, he writes, is destroying us. Wondering about the divisiveness that is currently besetting us? Look no further than DIE, D-I-E, diversity, inclusivity, and equity. Wondering more specifically about the attractiveness of Trump? Look no farther than DIE. When does the left go too far? When they worship at the altar of DIE and insist that the rest of us, who mostly want just to be left alone, do so as well. Enough already. Enough. Enough. Remember, DIE stands for diversity, inclusivity, and equity. Okay, that's the altar at which the progressives and the left worship. Peterson said that his university's DIE quotas have allowed administrators to overlook his white male students who are well qualified. I can't believe he said that. Quote, this means we're out to produce a generation of researchers utterly unqualified for the job. That combined with the death of objective testing has compromised the university so badly that it can hardly be overstated. And what happens in the universities eventually colors everything, as we have discovered, Peterson wrote. These facts rendered my job morally untenable. How so, right? This is what he says. How can I accept prospective researchers and train them in good conscience, knowing their employment prospects to be minimal? Just depending on their die scores, right? Diversity, inclusivity, and equity. Many professors, Peterson said, comply with the university's pandering in the name of providing more opportunities to minorities because their research funding and jobs depend on it. I could talk about Fauci there, but I won't. How can accusing your employees of racism, etc., sufficient to require retraining be anything other than, listen to this, and tell me if you don't relate to this. This is how it makes you feel. Insulting, annoying, invasive, high-handed, moralizing, inappropriate, ill-considered, counterproductive, and otherwise unjustifiable. How can accusing your employees of racism, etc., sufficient to require retraining be anything other than, I'll say it again, insulting, annoying, invasive, high-handed, moralizing, inappropriate, ill-considered, counterproductive, and otherwise unjustifiable. Have you felt like that at work? The diversity and inclusivity and equity training? The DEI ideology, he writes, is not a friend to peace and tolerance. It is absolutely and completely the enemy of competence and justice. Peterson said that the Canadian government has also embraced this woke madness, which was recently endorsed by Vladimir Putin himself, as a way the West moves backwards instead of looking to the future. This, he writes, from the head of the former totalitarian enterprise against whom we fought a 5-decades-long Cold War risking the entire planet. This from the head of a country riven in a literally genocidal manner by ideas that Putin himself attributes to the progressives in the West, to the generally accepting audience of his once-burned, once-twice-shy listeners. Putin's like, you go, girl. If you can even say girl these days, I don't know. We'll continue cultural liberalism, cultural socialism. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, where cultural liberalism is proudly embraced. You'll find out about that in a second. I can imagine Jordan Peterson, the brilliant Jordan Peterson, dancing a little jig right now to some Bee Gees music because he recently resigned his post at the University of Toronto. This has to be the greatest resignation letter in the history of resignation letters because the guy's just so brilliant. And he's talking about the radical leftist trinity, diversity, inclusivity, and equity, okay, is destroying us, culture in general. Which is why we're talking about cultural socialism and cultural awareness today for ourselves, but then to deal with the Joshua generation, the kids that are growing up, grow up in the church, grow up in your house, grow up in my house, and they turn around and 5 years later, 8 years later, they have no interest in the faith and they're culturally, politically liberal. And you're like, what happened? That's because they're being inundated in woke theology. Inundated. They have been for years. And the more they're on their phones and the more they're on TikTok, the more that's just, they're inundated. They're swimming in it. Remember, you might remember this math. So take kindergarten through 12th grade, 16,000 hours, butts in the seats. If they're in regular school, okay, regular school. The most kids are in public school. 16,000 hours, kindergarten through 12th grade. Another 16,000 hours, popular media, Netflix, TikTok, iPod, podcasts, whatever, video games, okay? That's 32,000 hours between kindergarten and 12th grade. 32,000, mostly godless input, okay? Mostly woke theology at this point for the last 8 to 10 years. Okay, big time. They're swimming in it. 32,000 hours of it, okay? Then you come in, Gold Star Christian, great Christian family. Your kid goes to Sunday school on Sunday. They go to the service on Sunday. They go back on Sunday night for Awana or whatever. And then they come back on Wednesday night for youth group. Wow, Gold Star Christian, that's awesome, right? It is. That's a Gold Star Christian family right there. 1 hour pop. Sunday morning Sunday school, service, Sunday night youth group, come back on Wednesday night for Bible study, whatever. 4 hours a week, kindergarten through 12th grade. Congratulations, that's 2,400 hours. Versus 32,000 of mostly godless input from public school, private school, and media. Okay? How good of a parent do you think you are? That's why this is the Joshua generation. They're just walking away. And that's why this cultural... Our ability to engage these cultural issues is so important, which is why I'm spending the show talking about it. So this is Jordan Peterson's making so many great points. He's out of there because the school is all about diversity, inclusivity, and equity, and it's ruining everything. Okay, the DIE, DIE ideology, diversity, inclusivity, and equity, is no friend to peace and tolerance. It's absolutely and completely the enemy of competence and justice. So he goes on, and he's talking about, he concludes his letter. This is his resignation letter. All of you going along with the die activists, whatever your reasons, this is on you. And he could be talking to all of us, right, if we're not engaging. Professors cowering cravenly in pretense and silence, teaching your students to dissimulate and lie, to get along as the walls crumble. For shame. CEOs signaling a virtue you don't possess and shouldn't want to please a minority who literally live their lives by displeasure. You're evil capitalists, after all, and should be proud of it. At the moment, I can't tell if you're more reprehensibly timid even than the professors. Peterson questioned why no one is taking action to combat the very thing that is destroying us. Quote, why the heck don't you banish the human resource die upstarts, diversity, inclusivity, and equity, okay? Upstarts back to the more appropriately named personnel departments, stop them from interfering with the psyches of you and your employees, and be done with it, Peterson wrote. Musicians, artists, writers, stop bending your sacred and meritorious art to the demands of the propagandists before you fatally betray the spirit of your own intuition. Stop censoring your thought. Stop saying you will hire for your orchestral and theatrical productions for any reason other than talent and excellence. That's all you have. That's all any of us have. He who sows the wind will reap the whirlwind. And the wind is rising. So he's out of there, University of Toronto, because of their DIE theology, diversity, inclusivity, and equity. This goes back to all those points I was making from my buddy Bill's blog post about cultural awareness, Me Too, woke, George Floyd, critical race theory, QAnon, Black Lives Matter, transgenderism, sexual fluidity, racism, sexism, socialism, Marxism, church and culture, transgender, gender. Okay? We have to be fluent in these conversations. Wise as serpents and gentle as doves, which is why I want you, I'll say it again, get on my friend Bill Mann, who wrote the first blog, get on his email list, and he'll send you an email every day with like five different categories. Stories from a Christian perspective, so you can start sharpening yourself to gain wisdom so that you can engage the culture yourself, gentle as doves, wise as serpents, and more importantly, so that we can pass it along to the next generation, which is what I'm trying to do in my classes every week and here on the radio. So his email address, otterpater, OTTERPATER. Ignore me for the next 60 seconds and send him an email. Otterpater, OTTER, PATER at gmail.com. But in the subject, just put musings and it'll get on the list. Okay. All right. I know this is like drinking from a fire hydrant. Okay. But this is what is required in the world that we live in. We got a lot of ground to make up. Cultural liberalism versus cultural socialism by Rod Dreher, the American conservative. Brilliant guy. Try to take this in. Just listen, play it back later, get the podcast, watch Facebook Live. Okay, go through this again. Western societies are in the midst of a growing culture war between cultural socialism and cultural liberalism. The two sides in this conflict only partly overlap with the country's partisan political divide. The culture war divides Democrats while largely uniting Republicans and independents. It presents, therefore, a risk for Democrats and, ding, 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 an opportunity for Republicans or conservatives. In a controversy dominated by anecdotes and headlines, social media, it's vital to systemically gather and analyze survey data on public experiences and attitudes towards culture war issues. While this has been done for universities, this report that he's referring to is the first comprehensive analysis of the wider American experience with an opinion of cancel culture, political correctness, and critical race theory. Cultural liberalism, listen to this, is the belief that individuals and groups should have the freedom to express themselves, should not be compelled to endorse beliefs that they oppose, and should be treated equally by social norms and the law. Okay? So if you want to play around out there and build a bridge instead of just burning it, if you have a liberal friend, just tell them, you know what? I'm a cultural liberal myself. What? What are you talking about? Yeah, I believe that groups and people should have the freedom to express themselves. None of us should be compelled to endorse beliefs that we oppose, and we should all be treated equally by social norms and the law, which makes me a cultural liberal. Liberalism, classic liberalism. Wow, never thought of it that way. Boom, see, you just made a point, right? For their good, for the country's good, and for the kingdom, because you're going to push them, you can lead them down this road to a biblical worldview. Cultural socialism, on the other hand, is the idea that public policy should be used to redistribute wealth, power, and self-esteem from the privileged groups in society, this is where CRT and intersectionality comes in, to disadvantaged groups, especially racial and sexual minorities and women. This justifies restrictions on the freedom and equal treatment of members of an advantage group, mostly you cisgendered white males. Okay, cisgendered meaning you're born with an outie, you still call yourself a man for the rest of your life. You're cisgendered, okay? But you're privileged and you have all this power, so you need to redistribute that. That's what cultural socialism is about. That's what you're seeing all over the place, cultural socialism. For some Democratic voters, a commitment to cultural socialism overrides their historical defense of free speech. Most Republicans disagree with that position. They also oppose what they perceive to be the denigration of white Americans and the nation's past, which is why I teach U.S. history, which underlie their support for a new politics of civil rights in schools and workplaces. Here's some main findings. So this is Rod Dreher in the American Conservative referencing this study. A majority of Americans oppose, listen, this is super important. A majority of Americans oppose cancel culture, but a significant minority, about a third, support it, backing decisions to fire employees for legal speech that they regard as unacceptable. We've been seeing this like crazy for the last 2 years with COVID, right? Misinformation, which is why I'm not on YouTube right now. Cancel culture is thus not only about people being afraid to stand up for their rights, it is rooted in genuine philosophical differences in the population between cultural socialism and cultural liberalism. Liberalism, cultural socialism, hey, I'm willing to have the conversation. I'm not going to put you down for disagreeing. Cultural socialism, this is the way life should be, and we're going to put you down if you don't agree, okay? The problem of cancel culture is going to get worse, not better. Younger people are substantially more likely to support cultural socialism than older Americans, i.e. us, even when controlling for ideology and party identification. As today's college graduates enter large organizations, they will mount an increasing challenge to freedom of expression. That's what Jordan Peterson was talking about, which is why he blew out of University of Toronto. The survey finds that diversity training, listen to this, has no impact on improving relationships within a workplace and actually makes people more afraid. The survey also finds that all people, even Republicans, who go through diversity training emerge more in favor of canceling others. See what we're doing to ourselves? Can you hear the hiss of the serpent? In sum, a divide has emerged between cultural socialist minority and cultural liberal majority. Among the youngest voters, cultural socialism, forcing everybody to think the same thing, arguably has the edge over cultural liberalism. I'm a cultural liberalist, okay? I want everybody to have a conversation. I'm not going to put you down if you disagree. Suggesting that cancer culture is likely to worsen in the years to come, which is why we need to train the next generation, the Joshua generation. We can't let them get away. We have to train them. We have to mentor them. Issues of cancel culture and critical race theory now rank at the midpoint in American politics and are a high priority for Republican voters and mid-ranking issues for independents. So, you got to get in there. We got to get in there, especially with the younger generation. Yes, for the country, but primarily for the gospel. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. The Steve Noble Show, cultural liberalism versus cultural socialism and our calls as Christians to engage the culture. Yes, for the good of the nation, for the good of our neighbor, but ultimately because it provides a great bridge for the gospel. But you got to be able to, you got to be willing to go in and talk to people about these issues, and you got to be able to walk through them and don't just pull out your bumper sticker mentality and throw it at the table across them. Say, oh, I'm going to use my Trump card. You actually need to be able to get into a conversation and stay in a conversation. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have with gentleness, respect, patience, whatever version of the Bible you're reading. Okay, they're all saying basically the same thing. So as a reminder, this is from Rod Dreher's article in the American Conservative, cultural liberalism versus cultural socialism. Cultural liberalism, that's me, hopefully it's you, is the belief that individuals and groups should have the freedom to express themselves, should not be compelled to endorse beliefs that they oppose, and should be treated equally by social norms and the law. We could have used some of that in COVID stand the last 2 years. Cultural socialism is the idea that public policy should be used to redistribute wealth, power, and self-esteem from the privileged groups in society to disadvantaged groups, especially racial and sexual minorities and women. Okay? That's what's going on. That's the woke culture. So he's just going through this study that's a comprehensive study of the wider American experience, trying to see where there's some overlap, where how can we talk to people. So let me finish this up. And then my buddy Bill Mann, who wrote the blog post Cultural Awareness with MentorLink, otterpater at gmail.com, get on his musings email, will join us to finish up. In sum, a divide has emerged between a cultural socialist minority and a cultural liberal majority. So among younger voters, especially, okay, so we have to deal with this. More than a third of all workers are concerned about losing their jobs or reputations to cancel culture. More than 7 in 10 people say that political correctness has gone too far and that they self-censor their beliefs in at least some situations. See, that's a bridge that most of us are walking on, okay? Among employees with college degrees, a majority have experienced diversity training, and taking diversity training is associated with a heightened fear of misspeaking or being fired. Everybody's getting hosed by this, okay? So that's an opportunity for us. All right. An overwhelming majority of voters of all political stripes oppose certain critical race theory. What to make of these findings? Here's what Roger Ayer is saying. First, we must do away with the thought that wokeness is a passing fad. It's here to stay. It's popular with the majority of young Americans. You would be foolish to think that they'll grow out of it. We have to have a long-term plan to deal with it. Okay. That's why we're trying to engage so we don't have a Joshua generation. We got to fight for these young people to help them see the truth, ultimately for the sake of the gospel. Second, we aren't going to be able to vote this away, but politics can be useful in fighting. Because of the demographic shifts, Republicans and moderate Democrats will never have a better opportunity to roll back wokeness and all its pomps and works than they do now. It's imperative that GOP voters push and push hard on Republican elected officials to go after cancel culture, CRT, and other forms of wokeness. And third, this will sound familiar, conservatives, moderates, and cultural liberals, that's me, hopefully you, have got to find their voice and use it within institutions to defend liberal values like free speech. If we wait for Republican politicians to rescue us, it's not likely to happen. Look to the courageous parents in Northern Virginia, there's your model, who raised heck about what the educational bureaucracy was doing to their kids. The parents led the fight, the politicians followed. If we sit quietly hoping to avoid trouble, we will deserve what we get. Then he talks about fellow Christians who are kind of mamby-pamby. I expect to see that we will see a big Republican victory nationwide this November and some respite from the relentless attacks of the woke brigades. But as Eric Kaufman's work, the study he was referencing, clearly shows, this is going to be a battle lasting for decades. Okay? I'll be 56 next month. So I'm running out of time to make an impact here. That's why we got to get to the next generations. Here's how he finished. We Christians and other social and religious conservatives have the gift of time now. Scholars like Eric Kaufman are showing us what is likely coming. A big Republican victory this fall will only slow things down. And that's assuming that the GOP lawmakers actually get off their butts and act boldly against wokeness. So yes, vote and get active politically, but by no means let that be the extent of your activism. Prepare your family, your church, and your community for what is to come. The dissidents who survived Soviet communism have so much to teach us. By the way, on that note, I'll have some folks on the show Friday. There's a movie that just came out based on the true story. It's called Unsilenced. In China, 1999, the government went after over 100 million of its citizens because they were starting to practice something called Falun Gong, which was like Tai Chi and exercise plus positive attitudes and peace and joy and tolerance. And 100 million people in less than 10 years in China started to follow this, which was good. Crime rates were coming down. It was good for the country, but it was too much free thinking. So the Chinese government went after them. Why? Because the Chinese government is run by cultural socialists. We will tell you what is good. We will tell you what to think. And then how do you counter that? Well, one of the ways is by doing something called mentoring, which is why I'm so happy my buddy Bill Mann from MentorLink is called in. Billy, how are you, buddy? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing great. How are you, Steve?
Good. I need to stop talking.
No, you're doing a great job. It's interesting, just to give sort of context to it, I started writing about the cultural, things that basically had happened around the world several years ago, and way before COVID showed up, largely to basically, my blog, by the way, is about mentoring the next generation, and it occurred to me that if you're going to mentor the next generation, you need to understand where they are. Mm. Or actually where they're not. And so I study both Gen Z and the millennials and realize that they're being whipsawed by cultural forces. Their attention span is 8 seconds. That's for the millennials, 6 seconds for Gen Z.
Jeez.
So the problem becomes, how do you get to somebody like that with that short of an attention span? And so the whole purpose of mentoring is to help them develop critical thinking skills. And the sort of focus of the blog is really aimed at the mentor to educate them on basic see what's going on in these guys' lives. And they need to understand it's a cultural shift. It's not just an intergenerational shift. And because of that, they communicate differently. I mean, all these sort of things. How do you reach them? I tell pastors, for example, given that they have an 8-second attention span, the standard church will put its sermon online so that you can be listened to or watched over the week. They won't watch that. They won't go near it with a long pole.
Yeah.
So what I suggest to them is something really simple. Take your sermon, do one simple takeaway that you want to give them, do a 3 to 4 minute video. They'll watch it. This is aimed at you, and that's how you reach them. If they're not going to listen to you, you're wasting your time. So that's kind of where I am. And to be honest with you, I ended up doing all these. It's in my blog, but I ended up doing a blog on each of those topics, not because I wanted to. I mean, the last thing I want to talk about is gender fluidity.
Right.
That's really not my bag. I don't want to talk about it. But I want to leave it the sort of where at the end where this is going. There's a guy that's I'm going to probably put a podcast in my musings. I don't normally do that, but it's from Epoch Times. By the way, the Epoch Times is actually founded by people from the Falun Gong crowd. I don't know if you knew that. They're from China.
I didn't know that. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. But what he says is really where I'm going with this, that this whole cultural shuffle is really about Marxism. It's sort of a new model of Marxism. I mean, Marxism, when you go back into the 1800s, was an economic oppression of the elites versus basically the peasants. And the only sort of really sort of real world experience of it was the Russian Revolution in 1917. But then what happened was, after World War II, the Marxist professors from Germany called the Frankfurt School moved to the U.S. and basically have been in the universities for decades. Then you go fast forward to the 60s, and you have the Weather Underground.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this is kind of interesting. The Weather Underground is gone, but they did leave behind a 160-page manifesto called Prairie Fire. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is you can buy that manifesto on Amazon today.
Jeez. Yeah.
So you don't have to take my word within it. So you fast forward to the Weather Underground, and then basically what happened then, several of them, because they committed terrorist acts, and that sort of, that's part of the leadership, basically got put into jail. Those that didn't get put into jail went back into academia.
Academia, that's right.
That's where they've been. And so just so you know, the manifesto that they came up with is like a 6 or 7 point thing. The first step, and they talk about how do you start a revolution.
Mm.
The first step is destroy capitalism. The second step is that there are sort of two prongs, is racism, systemic racism, and basically police issues. And the third one is, and this is the 1, 2, 3, 4, the third one is find a victim class.
Man.
The fourth step is organize the victim class, BLM. Number five is associate with the rest of the socialist, international thing. And the last one, which is probably the most important one for us, is destroy God.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, designed by the devil himself. And it's brilliant. You got to give him that.
Oh, it's pretty simple.
Yep, pretty simple, and they're doing a good job, and that's why we're called to counter that. For the sake of our neighbors and our children, the Joshua generation, for the sake of the nation, but ultimately for the sake of the gospel. Bill Mann, God bless you, brother. We'll do it again. Thank you so much for your work. It's so helpful.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to do it.
All right, bud. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much. I put the link up, okay, so you can go look at Bill's blogs. They're excellent. MentorLink.wordpress.com, MentorLink.wordpress.com, which would include the one that we used to jump off today, cultural awareness. Listen to this again, share it, get the podcast, share the Facebook Live. This is the conversation that we have to continue to have. for the sake of the next generation, for the sake of the gospel and the nation. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.